Welcome back to the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Josh, and I'm here for once. Thank you all for suffering through when I wasn't here last week. I know it must have been difficult, but I'm back around, feeling mostly better. Didn't have COVID, yay, and ready to hit up. We've got 1 week left of the finals, this trivia finale. Maybe we'll fix the Kings, probably not, but it should be a great episode.
Boy, I hope so. By the way, did you happen, and I think I know the answer to this, did you happen to listen to the pod and hear my comparison of you?
Yeah, I listened to it. Yeah, you did a Jimmy Kimmel monologue about me missing, and then, like Mike Breen, yeah, and you had Mark Jackson come in for you.
I'm glad that you got to hear that. Such prestigious honor as someone who gets compared to Max Kellerman all the time on my end. So
I gave you reasoning this week as to why.
That's great.
It's when you, in game four, you said, you texted us and said, this is the Robert Williams game. And we're like, there's 7 minutes left in the first quarter. Pump the brakes.
Hey, we're not going to talk about him much, at least from my end. So I'll use that as a Kickstarter to go into what we're going to do today. You see in the title, we're going to do, I don't love doing takeaways a bunch in a small amount of time within the last couple of months. But really with this series, with it being today being, we're recording this on Tuesday the 14th after game five. We won't get game six until Thursday. You want this episode to go out. You guys want to hear our thoughts. So what we're going to do, and I'm going to first introduce our guest because you're staring at the title and wondering what the heck, he's back again. We talked about it last week. We made that clear. Grayson's back. He's going to talk about some finals thoughts with us. We're going to do takeaways from I did through game five. We'll go over what that means. We're also going to, like Josh said, we're going to try to fix the Kings. And then we're going to go with the
it's
final.
It's going to be a long process.
It's gonna take trust the process.
No.
So yeah, right. But then we're also, Josh, for fairness, of course, needs to have a 4-point trivia opportunity from me. We'll do that. Grayson will write down his answers and show us afterwards. And then from then on, you will hear the official finale, followed by next week will be the trophy presentation. Hopefully, depending on how fast UPS can get it here, we'll see. All right. Without further ado, takeaways from Game 5 or through Game 5 for me. I'm just going to start it right now for those that are new here. You won't know this. You can go back to last year and find out. But I coined the term the Jrue Holiday effect because Grayson was very happy to talk about Jrue Holiday and what his effect was on the finals last year, and it was a great point. So, of course, making the title, I go in and I go, well, what would that be? Oh, the Jrue Holiday effect. That's a cool title. We can use that in the future. Here we are almost exactly a year later to the day. And if you had told me last year that we would be talking about the Andrew Wiggins effect, I think I might just never watch basketball again. So I'm here to talk about the Andrew Wiggins effect. I'm going to lay out a couple of things for them, and we're going to just discuss this. The goal is to have this segment finished in 10 minutes. I very seriously doubt that happens, but we are starting a clock right now at 4:50 Eastern. So, guys, I just have to put it out there that Andrew Wiggins has been the second best player in this series, and that's shocking to say. Because
behind
the point I wanted to take away behind behind Curry.
Robert Williams, obviously.
Yeah, right. I wanted to really lay out the case though. This is a guy that was accessible to the league like less than 14 months ago. Like this cost the Warriors D'Angelo Russell. And we're talking about a guy right now, and I'm going to go through a couple of things. In 38 minutes through Game 5, is averaging 18.5 points per game, 9.4 rebounds per game. He leads the team in that stat. 1.6 assists, 1 steal, 1.2 blocks, by the way, leads the team in that stat also, which is very weird, with only 1.6 turnovers per game on a 22% usage rate. So before I go through anything on defense, that's all offense. That's all what we've seen from him so far. Curious on you guys' thoughts up front right now about how Andrew Wiggins has played through this series. I don't care who starts.
That's not all offense. You talked about steals and blocks.
Oh, well, you know, the general non-analytical, you know, stats. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Good. Josh, I'm curious what your thoughts on Andrew
Sorry,
Wiggins are.
Sorry, just broke me. I've never been as low on Andrew Wiggins as you have. You've been the hater.
Fair.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was a good tool. It's what we talked about with, like, the Warriors' offensive strategy. A while back, they've always needed a slashing forward to kind of open up the offensive game. When they won the first title in 2015, it was Iguodala could slash to the basket, and Harrison Barnes they had at the time. Obviously, Kevin Durant for 2 years at a much higher level than these other guys. And then now Wiggins. I mean, it's the slashing forward's able to open things up for all the shooters they have. It's a formula that works like a charm and that Steve Kerr can obviously replicate with different staffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw it come to fruition last night in full. I think he was the best player on the court, period, last night. We saw the true potential he's had his whole career as number one pick. Even at times this year with this Warriors team, it was all about Jordan Poole. He was the one that was going to break out and be the reason they get to this point. We've seen Poole regress a bit, and Wiggins has kind of blossomed into at times the second option for this team with how Klay has struggled in the playoffs. Kerr did a lot of legwork in game four with 43 points, but last night he was off. And usually you think with the team constructed right now, Curry's under 20 points, then they don't win that game. But Wiggins stepped up. He had 24, I believe, and he was the reason they won last night. And it's almost entering not a joke territory that he may steal a Finals MVP from Steph.
Yeah, so I had an argument in Josh and I's fantasy dynasty basketball
Yeah,
league
like
this morning.
7:30 in the morning,
Yeah,
dude. Like,
okay. Regardless,
I woke up and had to read like 70 messages.
I brought up the idea that we seriously could be potentially a bad Steph game, another game five performance, and an Andrew Wiggins similar game four or game five and game four performances, and we seriously could be having the conversation that Andrew Wiggins steals the Finals MVP. I don't think that's a joke. That's not what we're here to talk about, though. We're here to talk about the series as a whole. As of what we know right now. So for me, and it's not okay, first of all, I want to lay out the thing about the Russell part of it. I want you guys to understand that, like, how I really understood this, and that, look, you can call me a hater of Andrew Wiggins all you want. There's a track record there that he was a good stats, bad team for a while. When Minnesota did win, Butler blamed things on him and Towns, whatever the case may be. There's a track record of a guy that we were holding way too high of a standard. At one point was compared to Maple Jo or called Maple Jordan, all that stuff aside, right? He's a guy that we had high expectations for and hasn't, been a contributor on a playoff team, and now he has, right? So I know this is probably going to be a quick, easy answer, but I just want to feel better about my analysis of the situation. If these guys are swapped, if Russell's on this team and Wiggins is on Minnesota still from this trade, are the Warriors in the same position they are right now, a game away from winning another title post Kevin Durant?
I think they're in the finals. I don't know if they're a game away from winning another title. He's that little bit extra. I don't think D'Angelo Russell is bad. I don't think he had Wiggins' size, which has been a big thing for the Warriors. And obviously, Russell was not even the star that Minnesota thought he would be. I think a lot of people thought Minnesota probably won the trade way back when. And Russell has not been that number two to Karl-Anthony Towns. They've been able to find Anthony Edwards to be that. But I don't think Golden State's far off, but he is that extra bit that gets you over the hump.
Yeah, I think I agree with him there. I think the ceiling would still be the finals, but I don't think they're up 3-2 or have 3 wins in their pocket in this series. I think what he was able to do specifically last night to get that third win, I don't know if we see that from D'Angelo Russell, especially with Steph off. So I think, like Josh said, that little bit extra that we saw again last night and most clearly to this point in this playoff run would be what put them over the top. Compared to with a D'Angelo Russell in his place, where they don't quite get to that height.
So it was two things for me, and then I'll move on. It's the thought process of, and Grace and I, without you, unfortunately, last week, Josh, we laid out the lineup case of like what the next couple games it looks like and the clutch moments there. I just don't understand how there's a rotation of, and I agree, maybe they make the finals in this case, but, and I'll point the second part here in a second, but they would have to find out a way to play Poole, Russell, Curry, and Thompson in some form or fashion. I just don't know how that would work, especially defensively. I know Klay's starting to kind of come into his form defensively. The other point I want to make about it is that they obviously avoided the Suns, but in this scenario, let's assume that the Suns move on, and I don't think they get past Phoenix if Wiggins is not out on the floor, because I think he would have been the reason they could have beaten Phoenix. I just think they're the hypothetical of the Russell thing is important to note that they were able to avoid. That's just one of the cool things about how the playoffs crumble sometimes. They were able to avoid Phoenix, and I think Wiggins would have obviously been a big contributor there compared to Russell, where defensively he can get play off the floor very easily. So, anything from that counterpoint there before I go to the defensive numbers of Wiggins, because I think they are important to note. There's really not much discussion on them. I just want them to be publicly known.
I mean, I don't think there's a point in going into too many hypotheticals.
No,
Maybe
it
things would
wasn't.
have been different if they played Phoenix, but I mean, they didn't.
Maybe.
So,
Exactly.
like, there's a reason Phoenix didn't make it to the Western Conference Finals, so.
So Really quick here, the two things about Wiggins that, and I've made it very clear, especially this year. I think that the biggest difference this year is going to be obviously the whole cliche of defense wins championships. But I think in the NBA right now, especially we're seeing, and this draft we'll talk with the here very shortly with the draft coming up next week. There's a lot of wings, there's a lot of defenders, there's a lot of really quality players, and those guys we're seeing. I like to evaluate the draft once I'm done with my deep dives, and I like to go. Who can right now I see be other than like the Ochai Agbajis of the world? Who can I see right now in a couple of years being a Jay Crowder on the floor, being a Klay Thompson, being a guy that's a defender, or Andrew Wiggins in this case this year? So the reason I want to bring this up is Jason Tatum has 18 turnovers this series through five games, which and that's and look that Wiggins has been the primary defender on him over 70
get it done
over 73% of the time. Andrew Wiggins is guarding Jason Tatum this series. That is astronomical for a one-on-one, a team that switches a lot, etc. What's even more important about the Jason Tatum factor, you mentioned not getting it done. He's gotten him there as best he can, but he also, with that, through five games of this finals, there's the potential to play two more of these games. He's passed LeBron for the most turnovers in a single playoff run with 95. Now, he's been a great playmaker. This is not Jason Tatum slander. This is Andrew Wiggins praise. So the point I want to make here with the praise is Jason Tatum is shooting, when guarded by Andrew Wiggins, shooting 30.6% on two-point field goals. He's 19 of 62. So to end my Andrew Wiggins effect, I think we are where we are right now because of his effect on the defensive end. I get the offensive stuff. The rebounds tie into defense. Everyone understands that. Like, you get a stop, you get the board, you go, right? The Warriors aren't playing as fast, but they're getting the boards and they're moving. I have to give full credit to Wiggins and some of the stuff I've said in the past, whatever, right? Like the All-Star game, I get it, right? But he's shown it in a big moment when it finally mattered. So I am done. I'm excited to hear what you guys have takeaways-wise. Anything else on Wiggins, defense, anything like that before we move on?
It's a little over the top to think he might steal Finals MVP.
There's a case there.
Game 5 was a weird game. I think it should be put out there that Game 5 was an incredibly odd basketball game. Both teams shot worse than they probably ever had. Golden State should get credit because they gave them a phenomenal defensive performance. They put on a clinic, but it's hard for me to apply it to games going forward. I don't see either team playing that terribly offensively on Thursday or a potential game Sunday. So I think, we're going to get... I guess similar to what you guys said in the podcast, every game is going to have a different storyline. We're going to get a very different game on Thursday, and we'll see who comes out from that.
Yeah, just going back to turnovers as a whole, just real quick. I mean, Tatum, like you said, set that record, and it's painfully apparent in these fourth quarters where the whole Boston offense that feeds off him at times just goes dormant and can't hit anything. I think Boston had 5 points as a team like the first 9 minutes of the fourth quarter. Any game, any team, you're not going to win that game, especially on the road. A team like Golden State has obviously been here time and time again. And we saw that 5-point lead they had in the third quarter evaporate as a result of not taking care of the ball. They're minus 18 in turnovers in their three losses and plus 6 in the two wins. And that's, if you want one stat that's going to can maybe correlate across the five games we've seen, it's that when Boston takes care of the ball, when they're south of 15 turnovers, they win. And their losses, they've been 16 or more turnovers all three games. You give teams like Golden State that can shoot the ball extra possessions, it's just not going to work. It doesn't matter what building it's in, what the series is, you're just not going to win that game. And I think last night, to Josh's point, was very weird. We saw Boston miss their first 12 threes, and then at halftime, we're shooting a slightly better percentage than Golden State from three, and yet Golden State was up double digits and complete control. And we thought, all right, here we go. It's the third quarter. This is when it gets to 25 points and the white flag comes out. And then Boston starts the third on a 10-0 run in about 2 minutes. And you look up and it's 51-49 Golden State before half the fans have sat back down in their seats. And you think, okay, we're going to get a competitive game now. And that pool three, the bank to end the third quarter, was just one of those usually it's Steph or Clay making those circus shots that, any momentum Boston thought they had just vanished. And that was, I think, once that shot landed, I was like, I don't care what happens. I don't think Boston wins this game. Whether it's mentally taxing, whatever you want to call it, just those kind of shots from that team were almost always a sign of things to come. It wasn't quite, Steph's 50-footer against OKC a couple of years ago, but it was just one of those moments you look back at and you're like, at this point in time, you don't see any other outcome but a Golden State win, especially at home after a shot like that to take a lead.
Well, I don't know if it was just me, but I saw that Jordan Poole shot go up, and I immediately was transported back in time to 2018, the Michigan-Houston round of 32 game, the NCAA tournament, when Jordan Poole puts up a shot basically from that same spot and drains it for Michigan to knock off Houston.
There's a history there for sure.
Yeah. If it's prophetic, Michigan would go on to the championship game and then get stomped into the ground by Villanova.
Yeah, it was... I can't speak much on the shot other than, like, the moment it went up, I just had to assume it was going in. That's where we were with it. I was like, it's the kind of shot we mentioned a few weeks ago with, like, taking the roof off the place. It couldn't have happened at a better time. The third quarter, we'll talk about in a second. Third quarter ending, that place just... When Steph's having a bad game, it almost the life almost feels sucked out of the building for some points, I've heard, in that new Chase Center especially. And it's not good if you're obviously trying to take advantage. Like you said, it's going to suck if they go back here game seven. It's just not going to work out well if Steph has anything remotely better than a game he had in game five. So, I guess, would you call the turnovers your biggest takeaway? I'm curious what Josh's is.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. Josh, biggest takeaway.
Bigger than turnovers to me was just Boston's poor shooting. Even at the free throw line, they couldn't make anything. I don't see that happening again.
I think they missed 10 last night.
Yeah. I mean, Tatum, I think, was 2-for-6 from the free throw line.
He was. I have it pulled up right here. Team stats as a whole. They shot 41% from the field, 34% from three, and 67% on 10 misses from the free throw line at 31 attempts.
Can't do that.
Tough. They did out-rebound, which didn't feel like it, especially with the Wiggins impact. They out-rebounded the Warriors, but that was about it. I mean, I'm looking across the board here, and it's just, I mean, total turnovers, I guess that's not a win, right? But just so many things, like, you just see the deficit here. I mean, I don't know. It was so, that storyline issue I'm having where it's like, okay, that's not the storyline I thought was going to happen just because of the fact that Boston hasn't lost a game. After losing, they haven't lost two in a row in this playoff, so I couldn't figure out how to word that. Both teams haven't, and it was just a testament to they were at home and the Warriors just took care of business. I really don't have much more to say about it. I'm excited to actually recap the finals and kind of go through things that I might not have thought of, going back through some old games and just kind of understanding what really happened. Obviously, predictions. Josh, remind me what you had, because Grayson and I both had Boston in 6.
I had Boston in 7.
Okay, so yours is still up for grabs. Grayson and I, unfortunately. Grayson, actually, for those that...
I'm not concerned. I knew Golden State was going to win 3. I don't know anybody's
right.
Jumping around about.
Boston did the thing that they needed to do, and they won the game. They won one of the two games that was crucial, mm-hmm. like Grayson said.
I fully believe Boston's going to win probably impressively on Thursday. Do I feel really confident about Game 7 in Golden State? No. But
that's going to be a bloodbath of all bloodbaths. Yeah. It's going to be... awesome to watch.
I'm about as confident in Boston in game 6 as I was in game 3. I think that, they're down a game this time. It's not split, but I think that, you know, the most important home game of the series prior to this next one, they won pretty impressive fashion. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to show up.
And they know it's their last game in Boston this year, regardless of what happens.
Yeah. They're not coming back to
show up and show out. Yeah.
Right. It might as well be a Friday because it's a 9 o'clock game. People are getting off work. They're going to start partying at like 12 to get ready. I mean, it's just going to be an unbelievable scene in Boston for anybody that's there. I mean, good.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, enjoy it. It's going to be unbelievable. So
we're going to have incredible environments for one, if not two, games going forward.
Josh, welcome back and ready to take this Kings segment. I don't know where, but. Actually, I think I do. We've talked about it a little bit off recording, but we know where it's going. I'm looking forward to what we're talking about.
Yeah, just as I promised 2 weeks ago, didn't happen last week because I wasn't here, but we're going to talk about Rashawn Holmes in Sacramento. I didn't realize that this was as controversial a Kings topic as it was until Trevor and I really kind of disagreed, incidentally, about what they should do with Rashawn Holmes. But we're going to kind of hash out what Sacramento should do with their young, effective playmaking center on an affordable contract who doesn't seem to want to play in Sacramento.
All right, lay out the case for what we're doing. So what, do you want to start with what you would do, or how do you want to do this?
Yeah, I mean, starting just, it's kind of just more of a conversation where we disagree. Do you think they should keep Rashawn Holmes, at least you said before? Because, I mean, in every reason that it makes sense to, he's an incredible quality player. He's young enough someone you can build around, and he's very affordable for the next few seasons. Every rumor about him is he doesn't want to play in Sacramento.
See, I haven't seen
he's
that.
He's unhappy there.
That's the part I'm missing.
So his name, every time the trade deadline comes up, his name is bandied about, doesn't want to be in Sacramento, is ready to move on. Contract affordable, but then it just never happens. It's kind of the same as the De'Aaron Fox situation. My thought with Holmes is, too, he's an incredibly valuable trade asset. You're not going to win now as much as you want to, Sacramento. I've been harping on this for a while. They're not going to win now. They need to get off that train. I know they got DeMontis, and I think he's young enough to build around over the next couple years to get to winning in a few years down the line. But you could move Rashawn Holmes for, like, probably a first-round pick plus probably a young player from a team somewhere out there.
So, while I'm looking this up, Grayson, any thoughts on, like, where you are with Rashawn Holmes? Because what I had, I didn't have a lot on this because, like I said before, I'm the guy that wants or thinks he should be kept. He's 28 years old, going to be 29 when the next season starts. He's been in the league 7 years.
His a little older than I thought. Then.
Well, it doesn't matter. His contract for me is why you, if you move him, you move him for something better. So I wanted to, while I'm curious what Grayson's thoughts, I'm going to pull up the trade from last year with Halliburton, and or I'm going to re-put it into the NBA Swap app and just see. The Pacers didn't want to pay Malcolm Brogdon, right? Like, or is there something there with that, and they want to move him, and then the Kings want a winning piece? So I guess I wasn't thinking anything about moving Holmes, and I'll say this before I turn it over to Grayson, is his cap hit for the next 3 years for the Kings is $10, $11, and $12 million. So he's a great contract. So, like, A, you're getting rid of a great contract that you can eventually flip later. If he doesn't, I don't blame him, first of all, for not wanting to play there. That's not my point. What I'm trying to figure out is you could have moved him at this deadline. You made a huge move. You got a guy who was, and Sabonis is on a decent contract. I don't have him in front of me. I know it's not a huge, huge max. But you had a situation where you could have gotten your, quote, win now guy with Sabonis and gotten Brogdon. But then we're in that same situation where they might be taking Ivy. And I know there's a bunch of stuff there. So while Grayson gives his thoughts, I'm going to look at this trade and see if that was even possible to swap those two. Regardless of how the Halliburton trade already went, which looks like is a huge L for Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for affordability on a cap sheet, especially if you want to try and transition from middling to win now. But if the guy didn't want to be there, maybe there's some hyperbole associated with it, but I don't think you can keep him. If you really want to win now, that's a roster and a locker room full of guys that are bought in with the city, with the coach, with the front office, and want to play there and want to be there. Because if they're not, regardless of talent, which he obviously has, you don't see championship teams full of players that don't want to be where they're at. It just doesn't happen. That cohesiveness and that chemistry is not built by guys thinking about my next contract elsewhere. It's I'm here. The front office may be, you know, not one of the better ones, but we've got a coaching staff I believe in and a roster of players that I think we can succeed with. And then you build that chemistry and you win those games and get to the playoffs. The teams that can fight together the most are the ones that are playing this time of year. And we're seeing that, especially now with Boston and Golden State, you know, two teams that preseason were not favored to even come out of their conferences, but they're very close teams with very good chemistry. We saw a little bit of a blow up with Smart last night, but that just happens on teams in high stress situations. So I think if Holmes truly does not want to be there or he's any doubts about, you know, his role or wanting to play in Sacramento, then I think you have to trade him if you truly want to be a win now team.
And to get out ahead of some people may ask, now these are rumors, we don't know for sure that he doesn't want to be there. Some people may say, well, why did he just sign a 4-year extension if he doesn't want to be there? One thing would say, well, one, yeah, like Trevor's indicating money. Also, it's a very different Sacramento team that he signed that extension with. That team had Marvin Bagley and Tyrese Halliburton and a De'Aaron Fox that was playing well and happy. That's not the same Sacramento team that exists today.
And Buddy Hield.
It's changed and Buddy Hield. It has changed a lot from the team that he signed with a year ago.
Yeah, so laying out the case for how it could have happened, I pulled it up finally, and then I want to make a point about the roster that you just made. It's a great point. Malcolm Brogdon, without any of the picks, this is just going the other direction and how this would have worked out. Brogdon leaving at $21 million, another guy that just signed an extension at 4 years, so they didn't want to keep Malcolm Brogdon, but yet they signed him to an extension. Yep. Same thing with Holmes. So you have Brogdon at 21 for four. You have Tyrese at 4 years for four. Crazy. The Kings actually gained $3 million in cap from this deal using a trade exception from Halliburton. And then the Pacers other direction, sorry. You know what I mean. And then Sabonis and Holmes, the Pacers lose $3 million with the Jeremy Lamb $10 million trade exception, with Sabonis being on an $18.5 million for 3 years and Holmes being on a $10 million, 11, 12, like I said. So I just, I don't know. I'm perplexed by the fact that maybe he was in those conversations. Maybe we're just not correct on the timeline. Maybe he didn't sign that deal just yet. I don't know if that was, he did. We would have. It would have been the trade deadline. He would have had to have signed the extension by then. So when I'm, yeah, you great point about the different team, because he signed a team now that
team great doesn't Sabonis. Exist anymore.
Yeah. It's De'Aaron Fox. It's De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes, who will be an expiring next year, will be a great perplexing piece at the trade deadline. Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, Josh Jackson, Dante DiVincenzo, Davion Mitchell, Mo Harkless in his 8,000th season, Terrence Davis, Alex Lynn, Trey Lyles, Damian Jones, Nemus K. I mean, it's just not the same team. It's so bad. And I really didn't even think of it that way, and I'm glad you laid that point out, because I just, they have money and they need to be able to move it, and I just, I don't know. The notes I had is I don't think he's going anywhere, and he's a valuable role guy. I just don't think a late first especially is worth, I mean, he used to play in Philly. Would Philly have used him last year maybe as a good scenario? I don't know.
So. I mean, I think if I were some of the teams I've seen bandied about that would be interested in Rashawn Holmes are your New York, Toronto, Charlotte teams that I think would be willing to dish a first-round pick for a Rashawn Holmes. I mean, he's not the value of a Miles Turner or DeAndre Ayton, obviously, but if you're looking for a rim defender and rebounder, it's something to look at. And if you're Sacramento, that needs to be accumulating young talent who want to play in Sacramento and build around, Rashawn Holmes is a piece that you can deal out. He's on a favorable deal. It makes a lot of sense.
Quickly, real quick, unless Grayson has something. Toronto doesn't probably work with the money unless they send out like a Gary Trent or a Thad Young on the expiring. I think Thad Young's actually scheduled to be a free agent. Or like you package like a Kim Birch and like a Chris Boucher. The money doesn't really work. That's the issue for me there. I do like the Raptors fit though. I really do. I also like the Hawks. Since we're just throwing out hypotheticals without really thinking about scenarios there. Team that's been chomping at the bits to make a move. It's not going to cost you John Collins. If you can somehow get off that Danilo Gallinari contract, unless I'm mistaken, he's not a free agent this coming year. And I don't even see him on the cap sheet. Yes, he is. 2 years, $20 million. So there would be some finagling there with the contracts. You would have to probably squeeze out like a DeLon Wright at $8.5 million. So I don't know. I think the Hawks is a good one because they could use a guy that if they're trying to get rid of Clint Capella, Kings get a win now piece. Maybe the Hawks throw in another piece there, like first. I don't know. I just think they want to get rid of Capella. They want to play Okongwu. If they want to play Okongwu, then Holmes would be a really good sixth man for the Hawks. You're welcome, Hawks fans. I don't ever
do that.
I think
any theoretical deal with Rashawn Holmes would probably see Clint Capella being sent out. It probably wouldn't stay in Atlanta. Because Rashawn Holmes, unless there's some larger package, is not good enough to fetch a John Collins. But aging Clint Capella being sent out to spend his final years in Sacramento wouldn't be shocking.
So
I'm not sure what Clint Capella's actual age is. I may have just made a fool of myself. Let me check.
He came into the league a little later than the average, I think. But
he's also 28. I made a fool of myself.
Wow.
He's the same age as Rashawn Holmes.
So, all right, then the question for I would have for Grayson then before we actually technically, did we say what we want to do? I guess, Grayson, what would you do in the scenario? And then are there any other magical team fits that we may not have laid out?
I think if the markets for Gobert and Ayton and others produce losers that still want to be buyers, and the right package is offered, then I don't see a reason you wouldn't flip him, especially if there's questions about his commitment to the team, which is a lot of self-inflicted on their part, given what they've done to that roster since he signed. But yeah, if a team is, you know, really trying to get a bigger name center and misses, but they still see that as a need and have the assets to make it happen, then I think Sacramento gets a couple of those calls and we could see him on the move as a result of missing on a Gobert and Ayton, a Turner, guys like that.
I could definitely see a move to New York with the Knicks, but that's just...
Any hypothetical fit for Grayson there? I have two that I just looked at that without really deep diving. I'm curious.
Yeah, I like Toronto, but the first thought that popped in my head as well was that cap sheet's not cheap. There'd be a little bit of maneuverability there. I don't know what the Knicks is looking like. They could probably fit $10 million
Mitchell
in,
Robinson's off the roster in New York, so it's a...
Bingo.
It's that's a replacing Mitchell Robinson situation.
And they
I could
lose.
See that as well.
Yeah, they would have the room for him. The two
I
want
to
buy
I think the expectation is Robinson will get overpaid in this free agent market.
Yep.
Is he restricted or unrestricted?
Mitchell, he's unrestricted because he was a late second. He's going to be off the books completely. The plan as of right now, rumor mill has it that he's not going to re-sign.
Right. I mean, the Knicks would match an offer sheet like $20 million over market value, but in this scenario, someone's going to overpay.
In this situation, it seems like they're actually thinking reasonably that don't overpay for Mitchell Robinson because he's an offensive liability.
And doesn't
he's
play.
Gonna get paid because he's long, he's gigantic.
He doesn't play. He's played like 48 games over the last like two seasons. And yeah, anyway, this isn't a Knicks segment, but I do have to give them credit because the last 2 years, especially what they've done to try to shape, it's the same Knicks scenario where it's like, if we're not going to draft a star in the top whatever, then we're going to try to keep these team option contracts. They've done it 2 years in a row now. They keep these team option contracts. They get rid of them. They do the right thing. They're preparing for this just otherworldly free agency coming up potentially. I think without going too deep into it, because I'm curious like where we finally officially land on what we would do, because that's obviously the point of the segment. I don't think we've ever officially said what we would do verbatim. But
I would cautiously pursue a trade, but I would not jump at a lowball offer.
Correct. The Pelicans and the Bulls. Pelicans contending team, that would be a great fit. Jonas Valanciunas that sometimes cannot play in those playoff series, depending on what they want to do with Jackson Hayes. This is just off the top of my head. And then Chicago, the Vucevic thing, he's a liability on defense sometimes, and they just don't have... They played Tony Bradley way too much last year. That's not a diss on Tony Bradley. He was their backup center for about 60% of the year. I would much rather have Richaun Holmes because they can get rid of things like... And this is, like I said, not off the top of my head, really, but they're going to sign LaVine to the max. You would have to flip like a Derrick Jones Jr. You may even have to give up Alex Caruso or maybe Coby White in that deal. I don't know, but we'll see.
There ain't no moving Caruso. That's a guy.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, never know. I would officially
glad like you remembered Coby White this week, though.
I was waiting on that.
I shouldn't have even laid that up as an opportunity. My fault. Sorry, Grayson. So I would do the same thing. I was in the camp of keeping him. As we talk this out, I can understand why it would be a decent move. So obviously in this case, you know, you're Vlade Divac and I'm Monty McNair. We would come to a joint decision. I'm okay with keeping him for now because you just signed him to an unbelievable deal.
Well, I'm okay with keeping him for now. It's just...
Even more so, though, the Harrison Barnes deal is expiring and people want Harrison Barnes. He's a quality defender, you know, relatively good three-point shooter, whatever the case
may be. Harrison Barnes isn't there to win. He's kind of in his get-my-money mode late career thing right now.
But he would be a great piece for a championship contender, and so would Richaun Holmes. So I think a good package there. I think they're going to be probably moved. All right, that'll be my big prediction for the offseason right now is I think those two get moved in a deal at the offseason to a contender or in the at the trade deadline.
That's a deadline move.
Yeah, to a contender, sorry. Yeah. Officially, Grayson, you would do the same thing, it sounds like. You would get rid of him conservatively.
Yeah, I'm not married to the idea of keeping him long-term. It would take an offer probably above what it should be to lure me into accepting it. But like I said, that market could develop that way as dominoes start to fall among the bigs. But yeah, so tentatively pursue a trade. I love that. And I'll do the same.
Definitely capitalize. There's a lot of teams are aggressively hunting big men. Being from a fan base of a team that is aggressively hunting big men this offseason, there's a lot of teams that are doing that. And so pick the bones of the losers.
Hey. You could draft one, and then he'd be your backup, and or vice versa. You never know. We'll talk about that in the coming days with the draft coming. Shout out to NBA Swap. That app is awesome, and it makes my life so much easier for this King segment when Josh brought this to me about 3 weeks ago. You can basically see cap space, the standings, like the trade exceptions, the picks, protections, all of it. It's an unbelievable app, so it's really helped me out with that these situations. Gentlemen,
it unfortunately doesn't stop Lakers fans from doing mock Westbrook for Hayward, Washington, and Rozier trades and thinking that's going to fly.
We don't have time. We have a trivia to get to, unfortunately. I apologize. You can have that fight on Twitter. Gentlemen, we are here to talk trivia because this, as sad as this is, because... Sorry, guys. You guys disappear last year. Right after trivia disappeared, we saw you all leave and come back, you know, 2.5 months later. I'm just kidding. But but they did.
Yeah.
So please stay. We're going to do trivia this summer in some form or fashion, similar to how we might have done it with the...
It'll be a Evan special off-season tournament.
Yeah. Talking out loud. This is good. We had
just
Evan
like Silver's mid-season tournament he wants.
Yeah. We had Evan and Dan on last year to do trivia in some form or fashion, maybe bring on some other creators again. So... Josh, for the sake of being back now after 2 weeks, is obviously for fairness, is going to get his own trivia to potentially get it to a bigger lead, yada, yada, yada. It's a 1.5 point deficit. Is that correct? I'm looking behind me.
23-21.5.
All right, so.
After Caleb threw Trevor a little softball a couple weeks ago.
1.5 point lead. So, with that being said, I have to give you a 4-point opportunity. And, of course, today we talked about the finals. Wanted to make sure we get that in. For those keeping count at home, we are 32 minutes in and we got here. So, not too bad, 15 and 15 with each segment. But we get to spend plenty of time here. We're probably going to spend at least 30 minutes on the finale. So I'm going to go ahead and fly through this, Josh. You were really good about wanting to understand how the questions and the points are laid out and stuff each week. So let me get through it. And then if you have any questions, because I think you'll understand it. It's fun. It's a similar format you've had before. So 4 different questions. I haven't done this before, really. This is my first time exploring the 4 questions opportunity. Finals related trivia. In the fairness of the fact that you can still trade in hints and all that stuff, and there are 4 different questions, I don't want you to spend each question. I think you've done this to me before. I don't want you to spend all 8 guesses on 1 question. So two guesses per question.
Okay.
Which is, I think that's completely fair. You could burn a hint, then make a guess, whatever, right? Your strategy is up to you. You did that to me before. I think it's a really great way to do it, so you don't just spend 8 answers on one of the questions and we don't even get to the other ones. So 4 questions, 2 guesses each. There's 1 potential answer per, so there's no multiple answers for these. 4-point opportunity, like we said, and I will tell you right now that 2 of them are finals MVP related, since we're getting really close to the end of the finals, and 2 of them are in total about the finals. So it is NBA finals trivia. Any questions before we get started, my friend? This is going to be a fast track downhill to the finale.
No, I know that you've been talking about how difficult this question was going to be lead into it, so this should be interesting.
Maybe. And I'm going to reveal the answers at the end, because...
Okay. Oh, so I don't get to know if I got it right.
Negative.
Well, what about if I want to give 2 guesses to a question?
Well, no, if you get it right, I'm saying I'm not going to... Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, no, I can't reveal the answers. I cannot reveal the answers because they are... Yeah, I can't. I'm just going to let you...
This doesn't make any sense, then.
You're going to do 2 each, and I'll write them down, and we'll give the points at the end.
What?
Yeah, we'll see. All right.
This wasn't well thought through, Grayson.
Who is... Question number 1. As sad as this is to be doing the final official trivia that's not a finale. Josh, who is the first player in NBA history to win multiple finals MVP awards?
Wow. Okay. Well, that kind of sucks because the award didn't start until after Bill Russell's run of dominance. So, he might have 1. I don't think he has 2. So, I'm going to throw out Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is 1. I think he definitely would have had multiple, and that should be in that following era in the 70s.
While you're thinking about your second one, I don't know if I said this or not, but Grayson is writing down his answers, and we're going to reveal his at the end, just to see how he would have fared in this hard trivia.
You know, since I throw 2 guesses out there, I think Kareem is the right answer. I don't have another guess beyond Kareem, so I'm going to throw Bill Russell in there just in case I'm wrong, and say Bill Russell is the other one.
By the way, this was thought out. I had 2 weeks to do it. I just forgot to mention that at the very beginning because of the way this is formatted. It will make sense when we conclude. All right, thank you for your answers. We are moving on to question number 2. This is also finals MVP related. Only 1 player in NBA history has ever averaged less than 10 points per game and won a finals MVP.
Shoot.
Who would be that player? I see Grayson looking to the sky because you might have to look to the sky to get this one. This is tough. I wanted to come prepared for this.
Okay, so Iggy averaged like 10.7. in today.
That feels very... do you know that for a fact? 10.7? That's pretty close. That's pretty accurate.
I read your argument about
that. Oh, I think it was like 15.
NBA Finals MVP.
I think it was 10 something.
I don't know. Either way, it wasn't below 10. This has got to be some late, like, 60s, 70s crap. So I'm going to ask for a hint for the first one and not make a guess.
All right. So do you want to ask the question of the hint? Because...
No, you're going to give me whatever you have prepared.
Okay. This player... I'll give you a pretty good hint. I think this is a good hint. I had this one relatively prepared. I'd be dumb to say, you're correct, it's before 19, whatever. I'm not going to do that. That's rude. Or I'm probably going to hate myself for this. But this player has a relative that is currently coaching in the NBA.
Okay. A relative is currently coaching.
Correct. a relative in some form or fashion, blood related to this person in some form or fashion, that is currently coaching in the NBA.
Hmm.
Relative could be anything. Just want to make that clear.
Relative yeah.
could be any blood relation.
Could.
I'm just giving you a 1.5 hint. Relative could be any kind of current relation.
By currently coaching, you mean currently a head coach in the NBA.
Currently a head coach in the NBA, unless yeah. There was a firing that I was not aware of.
Okay. I only have one name coming to mind, and it's probably not right. But yeah. I can't think of another one, so I'm going to say Paul Silas.
Okay. Paul Silas is your official guess.
His son, Steven, is the head coach of the Houston Rockets.
It's a really good pull, because I definitely forgot Steven Silas was the coach in Houston. So.
Oh, that's wrong.
no, I mean... Maybe.
He gave that
maybe.
Away.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe I forgot. Anyway, question number three. Whatever, man. Question number three. What is the first... This is non-MVP related now. We are down to the last two with the teams. What is the first team in NBA history to lose three straight NBA finals? Wow, you're
to
really...
lose three in a row.
You're really thinking hard about it. They got really quiet for a second. That was like eerily quiet because Josh was like, I got to get this one.
Dang. Okay. That's tough. So it's not... See, a lot of the teams that got close for a while lost in their conference finals. It was... almost LeBron's Cavaliers, but he didn't. He lost three out of four and won the second one in between.
That's a very fun fact. That's a really cool fun yeah. fact. For those that
he
didn't
lost
know that,
in
that's
2015,
a really cool
won in 2016, lost in 2017 and 18.
And by 2018, we were all ready to stop watching the NBA. Anyway,
yeah.
All right.
So, trying to think if there's anyone that was like dominant out west when Jordan's Bulls won so many. I don't know if it wasn't the same team to get there all 3 years. Utah got there a couple times. I'm going to just run it all the way back to the 60s and say the Lakers.
Okay.
And say that there was just a ton of Boston versus LA or Minneapolis Lakers matchups where Boston just like won over and over again. So that's guess one. Let's throw out the Houston Rockets as the other one.
Just curious on the logic there with the Rockets.
They were very close for a long time in the 90s when Jordan was playing before he retired, and they won twice in a row. I can't remember I'm just guessing it's... I'm thinking in some point maybe when they got that good back there, or maybe even in the Rudy T era, they might have come really close without ever winning, and I know they were very close, but don't have many titles. So,
it's a shame. They had a lot of talent. They had a lot of talent in the 70s.
They got close a lot, but didn't win much. So, I'm just throwing it out as a possibility.
I'll look that up afterwards, or I'll tweet it out just to show the 70s, because I don't have that in front of me that the Rockets, how many they might have made. I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong or not, but I'm saying that they did have a lot of talent in the 70s. They had like Calvin mm-hmm. Murphy, Rudy T, next time out. Mm-hmm. I just know that the Supersonics at one point, like, I don't know. They were in the West a bunch, whatever. That might be a really good guess. I have no idea. Number four, final question before we get to the finale or the answers and then the finale. I'll preface it like this. In the tone of Josh being a fan of an expansion team, which expansion team was the first to win the NBA Finals?
Like they won it, like they expanded that year and won.
No, they the first team period that was an expansion franchise.
Expansion franchise.
That's what the trivia question said when I found it.
Well, no, like, is ABA merging into the NBA expansion?
Mm-hmm. Any expansion of any kind.
But, like, those teams weren't expansion franchises. So they were ABA teams that joined the league.
Well, they're now current teams in the NBA, so they would count towards the pool. But I guess let's just not count ABA teams, because I think...
Okay, so tell me who are the teams that weren't expansion franchises that are considered locked in original NBA teams.
Original that were ABA? Anything that...
Who is not considered an expansion franchise?
Gotcha.
Because otherwise I'm putting this question under protest.
All right. Whatever.
If I guess an ABA team, you say, no, they just joined on the merger. They didn't expand.
Well, a lot of ABA teams merged and then they killed them off. Like, there was a lot of teams that just...
No, four merged and they're all still there.
Oh, okay, so then I misunderstood your question. Those count towards it as well. So ABA...
I'm still going to make you just give me who the non-expansion franchises are.
How am I supposed to do that? Like, Google the who oldest the, franchises? Like,
who are the teams that are not considered expansion? Because otherwise it's just like every team in the league is an expansion franchise.
Well, this is a hard trivia question for a reason.
Sorry, well, no, the question, the rules of the question don't make any sense. You can't clarify them for me.
I'm just going to tell you the original whatever NBA team.
Grayson, rules that. Disputer. Am I being ridiculous?
I don't it's think NBA so. I'm also confused at what stipulates an expansion team. Not that I'm going to get it right anyway, but...
Yeah, the whole point was, my back I don't really know. I'm not going to lie. I don't really know how to answer this question, so I'm just going to give you, I don't know, the original 11 teams. I don't know.
Yeah, give me the original 11.
The original 11 were, and I'll even tell you who they were, who they became as previous, so they don't count as expansion. That's actually, yeah, that's the way to answer this. That's a good point. All right, the original 11 is what they were called. The Knicks, the Celtics, Philadelphia becoming Golden State, so Golden State, Minneapolis becoming Los Angeles, Lakers, Rochester Royals becoming Sacramento Kings. That's really cool to know that Sacramento is technically an original franchise. It makes it even more depressing. The Fort Wayne Pistons that moved to Detroit as the Detroit Pistons. The Tri-City Blackhawks that became the Atlanta Hawks. I think that's when they were in St. Louis at some point. The Syracuse Nationals that then became the Philadelphia 76ers. So all of those teams do not count towards this.
That's eight.
I have 11 here. Hold on. 11 were Celtic. Sorry. Yeah, there's a couple in here. The original 11 were the the Celtics. Did I say the Celtics? Yep.
Yep.
Celtics. The Cleveland Rebels. That's all it tells me. So these were the first couple teams in the NBA.
Did the Cleveland Rebels become someone else?
No idea. I don't have it in front of me. I don't know.
I'm going to look that up.
Cleveland Rebels. You're going to look up three different teams like that then.
Yep.
Because it's not. Yeah. The Cleveland Rebels. The Chicago Stags, which I do think became the Chicago Bulls. The Detroit Falcons. See, that's where this gets weird because there was already a Detroit team that became Detroit. The Toronto Huskies. The St. Louis Bombers. The Philadelphia Ironmen. See, there was... I don't know. I tried to give it to you where I was giving you the like who they became. I think that made it more difficult with who the actual 11
That's way were. More than three other teams. So, okay.
Yeah. I'll just read the original.
The Stags, the...
Rebels.
Rebels, okay. Yeah, both of those folded pretty quickly. Who was the third one?
Providence Steamrollers.
That's a name I've heard of before.
I'll tell you this. You're thinking way too hard about it. Because even with the help like and giving you the backstory on some of these teams that don't matter, that disbanded, they are the team that expanded... is a current NBA team in some form or fashion. Like,
yeah.
They've made it. Like, that's, yeah.
No, I got that. Okay, give me a minute.
The 1946 expansion from the BAA to the NBA will not matter in this, I'll just be honest with you. Like, that's why I'm telling you that this was all for no reason, because it's not one of those teams, which now we know who they are. I guess that's fine.
But, no, I said the ABA, not the BAA.
Well, the ABA we know is the Nuggets, the Rockets... Right? Rockets? The Nuggets?
Pacers and Spurs.
And they, to be clear, I guess from earlier, they do those count because that was an expansion of
okay,
the NBA.
Okay, well, then I've got my guess. Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks, and then you have one more.
I know they won in 71, which I'm just guessing 71 would be early enough to not be one of those original eight. Because Boston took so many, and when it wasn't them, the Lakers were there, the Warriors were there quite a bit.
All right, so based on...
Just think through some teams. Who has won titles? I'm just going through the history of the league's teams in my head to make sure I'm not, like, misplacing anyone significant. Yeah, I'm going to go Milwaukee Bucks and Portland Trail Blazers.
All right. Those are both very good guesses, and I'm going to, just to be safe because of this chaos and confusion, I'm going to double check this question because I'm serious. I don't want any backlash from you or, and I guess people like chaos, but.
Yeah. Well, before we get to that, I'll double check it with you. Let's go to the beginning and give me the answers, just question by question.
Let's go. You're right. So let's do this from the top. The question was, who was the first NBA player to win multiple Finals MVP awards? Kareem and Bill Russell were your guesses. And Bill Russell, understandably, we've talked about this multiple times now, I think, where he was named after, or the Finals MVP was named after him. It began in the 69 season. So unfortunately, he would not, I don't think he won any. Kareem is a great guess, however, but it was Willis Reed.
Mm.
Willis Reed won in 1970 and 73. Grayson, go ahead. We'll do this as we go. Just reveal your answers. Obviously, you can't change them now.
yeah, I had Kareem just off the top, and I'd struggle to find a second guess that made much sense. I was not going to pull Reed. Yeah.
Okay. Question two. Only one player in NBA history has ever averaged less than 10 points per game and won Finals MVP. Who is that player?
Who did I even say?
You said...
I don't remember what my answer was.
You said a hint, and you said Paul Silas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Stephen Silas. I am going to just do this really quick here. I'm actually going to see if you guys can guess. I'm going to give you the team, and I'll see if you can guess who. This guy is currently the head coach of the Washington Wizards, his son. Or his son is currently the head coach of the Washington Wizards. Poverty franchise, just like the Kings. We've now lost three NBA teams as part of potential deals.
Unsealed?
It's Wes Unseld. Mm. Wes Unseld. I have some backstory on that. Wes Unseld, as a rookie, won MVP, Finals MVP, and won an NBA championship. Why that's important, he averaged, again, like we've laid out here, 9 points per game, 11.7 rebounds, 3.9 assists on some meh splits. For what it's worth, and this is why I wanted to mention this, for what it's worth, as I had a little star next to it, Unseld's teammate, Bob Dandridge, averaged 20.7 rebounds and 4 assists. So, the rookie of the year, MVP, Finals MVP, and champion. Great for Wes Unseld. Unbelievable, honestly. But, my goodness. Like, I don't know. We weren't allowed to watch that, so maybe that was just in hindsight. But all right, question three. First NBA team in history to lose three straight finals. You went far back. You went as far back as the 60s. You did not go back far enough, unfortunately. It was actually before the Celtics went on their run. It was the first handful of seasons in the NBA. And as sad as this is, the New York Knicks lost three straight NBA finals. And they lost them in 51, 52, and 53. In 51, they lost to the Rochester Royals, who we laid out now are the Kings. And then in 52 and 53, you got some of it right. You said something about the Lakers in many, but... they lost to those Minneapolis Lakers in George Mikan. Grayson, go ahead. I don't think the Knicks were on your scorecard, but
no, I was thinking a little bit further west. I had Suns and Rockets written down. I wasn't going back far enough either.
Good. The Suns played a bunch of. I think the Suns have been in a couple of finals. But that was probably pre. Yeah, there's. I think it was a while back for sure. Lastly, man, I really hope this doesn't go south very quickly. I can get another question prepared if I need to. So I did have a question prepared as a backup, but it was one of the ones I cut out. So I do have one prepared. Which expansion team was the first to win the NBA Finals? According to my research, okay, you guessed Lakers or Rockets.
I already looked it up. I know he's,
I said according, for question
No, one. Lakers and Rockets, the other one. I said Bucks and Trailblazers for the fourth.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong score. Sorry, I was looking at three.
Yeah.
You looked up the answer?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about to argue.
Great, that's fine. We won't hash this out. I'm going to give you a follow-up question because I have another question.
No, we're going to hash it out because I think I earned the point. So tell them what the answer is.
Which expansion franchise? It was the Wes Unseld-led Washington Bullets won as the first expansion franchise in 1978 is what I had written down from what I found.
So the original 11 you gave me. Were the Knicks, Celtics, Warriors, Lakers, Kings, Pistons, Hawks, Sixers, and then those other three, the Stags, Steamrollers.
Steamrollers.
Who won in 1971 that wasn't on the list I just gave you? The Milwaukee Bucks, which is 7 years before. So I'm right, based on your definition of expansion.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the point, because honestly, I didn't feel like asking you the next question, because you would have gone officially 0-0, or 0-4. Grayson, what did you have? I'm just curious.
I knew it went early enough. I said Seattle in 79 just because I felt like being a homer.
It was 1 year off. That was so close, at least from what I had written down. You clown. Anyway, the question I had for you on backup was, which NBA player is known for the shot heard round the world in the NBA Finals? I should have just used this question.
Heard round the world?
It is, quote, shot heard round the world in the NBA Finals.
Well, that's Jordan's shot over Utah, right?
It apparently is Gar Heard.
Oh, that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Iguodala.
So, either way.
The only shots heard around the world in the finals I know are Jordan's over Utah and Ray Allen's in the Miami Game 6.
Either way, congrats on the 1 point that now makes it a 2.5 point deficit.
Yep.
By the way, where did you find, did you just Google first NBA expansion franchise to win a championship? Where'd you find?
Googled list of NBA champions.
So, when did the Milwaukee Bucks come into the league again? Oh, that's right. It was 69 because they were expansion after LA, after they left, right? Is that how that worked? No, I'm thinking about Minneapolis. What am I thinking about? They joined, I remember because when the Bucks won it, it was 50 years after, and I think it was their second season or third season as an expansion team.
I
think that's right.
Expanded in 68.
Yeah.
They became a team in 68 and won the title in 71. The only team that's not an original 11 listed as the Baltimore Bullets in 1948 as part of the BAA versus NBA championship,
That's probably where my confusion got crossed over with the research. It was close, though, because it was 70s, and then I had the Bullets in it, 78, so whatever. My fun fact for the Bullets and apparently winning the first NBA expansion franchise championship was that Mitch Kupchak was on that team. I thought that was funny. all right, that was stupid. I'm mad. 1 point, congrats. 2.5 point
24
lead.
24 to 21.5.
Without further ado, back now for the third time in he's been on this whole episode. What am I saying? Whatever. Third time in 6 weeks. Welcome back and ready to do the finale. As of last year, this is this is it. This is the time. I don't know what else I'm saying. Roll with it. Let's do it.
All right. So same format as last year for the listeners that have been with us for a year. And if not, this is going to be 10 questions. They're going to be multiple choice. I'm going to give them 4 options. They're going to have to write down the correct one and they'll hold it up. And we will obviously verbalize to you guys what they've got for each question. It's going to be all from this season, a couple regular seasons, some playoffs, end with the finals. And then I'll save the 10th question for when we get there. But as it stands right now, Josh is up 24 to 21.5, so 2.5 point lead with 10 points up for grabs in our finale. Last year, I don't remember the score off the top of my head going in, but Josh was victorious by just 0.5 point. So hopefully we'll get an ending just as close this time around. Josh still has not gotten his trophy, but he may get 2 in the mail pretty soon.
I think it's funny, by the way, before you begin, I think it's funny that the person with the 0.5 point last year won, and now the person with the 0.5 point this year is me. So maybe, just maybe, NBA history likes to repeat itself. Anyway, I'm ready to.
I came into the finals last year trailing.
Down. Yeah,
right.
And got 7 out of 10 right, because I found I'm using the same paper that I used to write down last year because I found it. Just apparently never threw it away.
Apparently I should have picked up boxing gloves on the way home here. But all right, let's do it.
All right. Question 1, starting with regular season. Which star player achieved a less than ideal triple crown by leading the league in points, assists, and turnovers during the regular season? Is it James Harden, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, or Nikola Jokic?
Is this average or total?
This is total.
Okay.
I almost wish you could have thrown a curveball and not done multiple choice this year. I think it would have been really interesting. Maybe next year.
I think
year
I had this one without multiple choice.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right, we'll go with Josh first. What you got?
We got Trae Young.
All
right. Unfortunately, because like I said, I wish you think you would have gotten it without it. I would have definitely gotten it without it. I have Trae Young as well.
That is correct. It is Trae Young.
Only because we talked about it, too.
Yeah.
That's probably, honestly.
I knew he led in assists and turnovers.
Oh, see, I knew. I didn't know about the turnovers. I knew points and assists. See, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, Trae Young's probably the safest bet in the NBA to lead in turnovers.
Okay. I like the choices, by the way. The choices were good. Like, the Harden one was the only one I was like, they kind of maybe thrown off.
He didn't play enough.
Yeah, that's what it was for me.
I was hoping points would maybe throw y'all off, but yeah. No,
it's good. That was good. All right.
Good start for both of you.
Number 2.
Question 2, staying the regular season. Last night, we mentioned the Celtics missed their first 12 threes. We're going to go a little bit more positive on this one. What team led the NBA in three-pointers made total this regular season? Is it the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Golden State Warriors, the Utah Jazz, or the Charlotte Hornets?
That's hilarious. It's two of Josh's favorite teams on there.
Hey, I'm not a Jazz fan. Let's stop perpetuating this narrative.
I'm ready.
Oh man.
Okay.
I'm ready. I have a timer of 1 hour and 2 minutes and 25 seconds. I'm going to give you until the 40-second mark.
It's for more editor.
Yeah.
Right. I'm writing down. Give me a second.
Yeah, 5 seconds. So that's good.
Okay.
Okay, Trevor. Right. Show your answer first.
Yeah, let's check. Go ahead, Trevor.
I know this team led in attempts, so I'm pretty sure I've heard at some point that they led in makes, and I'm pretty confident it is the Timberwolves.
All right, Josh, what you got?
I said Charlotte Hornets, because I know they were close, but I don't know if they had it.
Each of these four teams were in the top five, but it was the Timberwolves that led the league.
Let's go! Yes! Oh, I'm so happy. All right, I'm actually writing down the score as we go, updating it line by line, 25, whatever, so... 25-23.5. All right, that was the first jab I needed. Talking about boxing matches, a 10-round match.
You got to get three more right than me, though. So
I know, but that's a great start. All right, go ahead.
The point and a half lead Josh entered today with prior to the trivia you just listened to. Moving on to question three, we're going to stick with made shots. Move on to the playoffs, though. Which player shot a perfect 14-for-14 from the field in an elimination game this postseason? Was it Jason Tatum, Nikola Jokic, Chris Paul, or Steph Curry?
All right, I was double checking the score because you said it was a 1 point. I think it's 25-23.5. Is that
I've
right?
I've got 24-22.5, but the same deficit, so it doesn't matter.
You keep score. 24-23.5.
No, 25-23.5. Oh, okay. It's a 1.5 point.
That's what I had. Sorry. Reread the question because that's why I was double checking. Sorry. I was looking away completely for that.
No problem. Sticking with made shots, moving on to the playoffs. What player shot a perfect 14-of-14 from the field in an elimination game this postseason? Was it Jason Tatum, Nikola Jokic, Chris Paul, or Steph Curry?
Oh, boy. Okay.
There's a loud silence there.
Josh, I am ready whenever you are. And you got.
I'm stuck between two. Okay.
I hear the writing aggressively. Can't cut that out for those listening only.
It's for the drama.
All right. Go ahead first, since you were unsure.
I said Jason Tatum.
Okay. What you got, Trevor?
First of all, I'm going to preface this by saying thank you, because you and I, for those who don't know this, the three of us have a text thread for stuff like this. For days like this where we're doing finale and stuff like that. Grayson and I have been texting about the NBA all year. I have a couple people I text about the NBA. And Grayson is a very big fan of this guy. And I distinctively remember this game because I thought it was insane. It was one of the few games that series I was able to watch in its entirety. And it was Chris Paul.
Yes, it was. Chris Paul, 14-for-14 against the Pelicans.
All right. So now I'm going to make sure I just keep score correctly because I thought I had it wrong. I did. All right. Go ahead. I'm ready.
I feel like fix is in. I've been talking about these answers.
I can say that. No, that was the only one where him and I talked about that game the night it happened.
We haven't gotten to the Thunder questions yet, Josh. Don't worry.
I don't remember. Look, for what it's worth, I don't
remember. Throw in some Charlotte Hornets questions.
Oh, they're coming. Trust me. I want them to get confident, and then we'll start.
Yeah, right.
All right. Question four, Josh, now up half a point. Not every playoff record that we've seen broken has been for a good reason. What player set Memphis record held by Shaq by missing 10 consecutive free throws in a first-round game? Was it Nick Claxton, DeAndre Jordan, Greg Monroe, or Tristan Thompson?
Just for clarity on that, because there's a lot of history in there with the Shaq part of it. Just I can tell Josh is thinking too. Read that one more time, just for the listeners as well.
Yeah, so Shaq held the record previously, 8 straight missed free throws. This player missed 10 in a row in a first-round playoff game. I'll give the options again real quick. Nick Claxton, DeAndre Jordan, Greg Monroe, or Tristan Thompson.
I thought it was going to be hard to one-up yourself last year, but I will say through four, I am very impressed with the detail of these questions.
Yeah.
They are, like, and it's not like, did you mean to do them out of order? Because I know you said earlier you texted us about getting the order set. the order is all over the place. Like it's regular playoff, regular play. Like I'm
yeah, that was
I'm
a point. Yeah.
No, oh, okay. Okay.
Oh yeah. No, it's.
Oh god, my brain's really having to. This is hard. I'm. This is impressive, Josh. I would say I'm about 70% sure. So do you want to go first?
No, we're alternating. You got to go first.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I don't know if that was on purpose or not. I don't remember, and I was between two guys. This guy, I remember having a very poor free throw shooting game in the first round. But I don't remember if it distinctively was this guy and 10 in a row. I had DeAndre Jordan.
All right. What you got,
so
Josh?
I was between DeAndre Jordan and Nick Claxton. I kind of centered in on those Brooklyn Nets. I feel like I remember the story, but it being the other way and it being Claxton. So I said Nick Claxton.
It is Nick Claxton.
No! No, it no, is Nick no, Claxton. No.
There we
lead,
go.
The lead grows back to a point and a half.
I'm pretty sure DeAndre
I knew he
Jordan
played way more than Jordan did in the series.
That's right, yeah.
I knew Greg Monroe, I don't know if he got on the court. He definitely didn't play enough to shoot 10 free throws.
Yeah, I thought it was Jordan because I remember him having that game where he... I think that was a regular season game. I'm such an idiot.
I still remember watching this game, seeing that graphic, and immediately putting that note to my phone. I was like, that's going to be a question, 100%.
Yeah, by the way, for those that are new here, he had all year to prepare. We basically were like, hey, you're coming on again, because that was actually a really
he's
good
just been
format.
Writing questions all year.
Yeah, all year.
Oh, this has been, weeks and weeks
content.
And weeks.
You literally, like, four... What is that? Almost 2 months ago wrote that down?
This is...
Crazy. All right, I'm mad. All right.
All right. Josh leads by a point and a half as we enter question five, which is the playoffs have been memorable so far, to say the least, but this player may disagree because he has been swept out of the playoffs each of the last two postseasons. Was it Goran Dragic, Andre Drummond, Seth Curry, or Avery Bradley?
Okay.
Dude, oh my God. I'm such. Oh my God.
Any questions on that one? Or just doing.
Answer choice? No. I'm good.
Okay.
I think I have this one. I hope he wasn't moved sooner than I thought.
Me too. I think we're in the same boat because I think I might have either A, misunderstood it, or B, the same thing you just said. Oh, no. I'm not confident. It was 50-50. I'm not confident. So go ahead.
All right. We'll let Josh start this time.
This year he was swept out with the Brooklyn Nets, which, like all of these were, they were the only team swept out of the playoffs this season. And last season he was swept out with the Heat, Goran Dragic.
What you got, Trevor?
I have a feeling he might be right just based on the backstory, unless that's total and utter crap. I had Seth Curry. The Sixers and the Nets swapped Drummond and Curry, and at that point I was between the two, and I'm probably wrong.
You are right. You are wrong. It's Goran Dragic.
Oh, my God.
I remember reaction. Miami getting swept out by Milwaukee last year.
That was another one I ran straight to the notes app with.
Wow. Okay.
Back up to 2.5.
Yep.
Yeah, five to go.
I have halfway through, Josh leads by 2.5.
I have it up as 27 to 24.5. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be it.
Oh, man. Oh, all right.
All right. Question six. Thankfully, as Josh mentioned, that was a sweep, but there's not the only sweep. But for the first time since 2011, there were no game sevens in the first round. What I need from you two for a point is how many round one series ended in six games?
This season.
This season, yes.
Okay.
Was it 2, 3, 4, or 5?
Let's get, because of the in-depthness of this question, let's get an extra 15 to 20 seconds.
Yeah, no.
Just for the sake of, I think Josh is thinking the same way. It's like there was so many series in the first round.
I'm going to count them, yeah.
This is first round only, just to make it abundantly clear.
Yeah. Still a lot of them, that's first round, most playoff games. That's the problem for me, or most series. Oh yeah, I'm glad we did this. Okay, hold on. Oh, crap, I don't remember who they played. Oh, this is bad. All right, I don't feel good, but I do have my answer. I have it at hour 12 and 5 seconds. I'll give you till the 30-second mark. It's a good amount of time still. We'll have like a full minute and 30 seconds on this question, so that's not bad.
Okay.
I think we're starting with Trevor now.
I think this was a similar question last year. I remember there being one where it was like 1, 2, 3. I think it was that the Thunder pick question? I think it was. Anyway, bringing up old memories, old nightmares. I went with 4 for the fact that I literally think it was about 2 in each conference.
Okay, Josh, what you got?
I had five.
I think it was five, and that's the problem I had. I couldn't think of the last series.
It was four.
Wow, there we go.
It was four.
Yes!
Which one did I get wrong? So which were they?
Did you have them? I thought this was one of the ones I thought y'all would get.
You said you wouldn't get it? Just pull up the playoff bracket on NBA.com. I can tell you off top while we're looking it up. Pelicans Suns was six because that was shocking. It was the West that I struggled with. Was it two in each conference? I had the East as, who was the three seed? I don't remember now.
All right, so Phoenix over the Pelicans in six, Dallas over Utah in six, Memphis over Minnesota in six, and then in the East it was Philly over Toronto.
I thought Miami and Atlanta went to six. That's where I went off.
Where did that go? Did it go to four?
That one five.
Went to five. Sorry,
Yeah. I thought Atlanta picked up another game.
Wow.
Yeah. Philly, Toronto, Phoenix, New Orleans, Dallas, Utah, and Memphis, Minnesota. 27. Three and one. Three in the West and one in the East.
As crazy as it is, this is a lot better for TV than I ever thought it would be.
We're back to a 1.5 point
deficit. That's great since we're on television.
For Trevor.
Yeah, like an absolute bozo. I wrote the score going down each line over my seven. So I'm going to flip my page over and write 7, 8, 9, and 10 on the back because that was an accident. Go ahead. I'm ready for number 7.
27 to 25 and a half.
Yep. All right. Question 7. Unfortunately, no game 7s. We had plenty of excitement to this point in the playoffs. One of the unexpected storylines was during the Grizzlies and Timberwolves playoff matchup. There's a lot of disruptive environmental protests during games. I'm going to describe four events. You tell me which one did not happen.
Yes.
Oh, my. Yes. Josh knows this, and I think I do, too, hopefully.
All right. Attempting to glue their hand to the court, chaining themselves to the basket, throwing several large drinks onto the court, or running onto the court dressed as an official. I need the one that did not happen during that first round series.
Read them one more time for me.
Yep. Attempting to glue their hand to the court, chaining themselves to the basket, throwing several large drinks onto the court, or running onto the court dressed as an official.
I believe it's me.
Yep. What you got?
Josh was actually funny enough. I like to give backstory on our show so people like, because there's only an hour of content relatively per week, and Josh and I talk a lot throughout the week. It was his idea to do this segment because I wanted to talk about the Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards and do that whole rant I did. I did not really want to talk about off the court stuff. I thought it was ridiculously. I get it; it's funny, but
the T Wolves won every time this happens.
I understand fully. I really do. Drinks happen all the time, and I'm pretty sure that that's not in there to throw us off the scent. I know for a fact the glue happened. I know for a fact the official happened. I'm up in the air on the basket, but they would have gotten on the floor. Drinks just seems like a poor attempt. These guys went hard to try to do this. I think drinks is correct.
Yeah, okay. I remember the other three. I was a little hazy about if the woman that ran on was dressed as an official, but I knew Trevor would answer this as drinks, so I went the same as him just in case to not overthink it and not get it wrong.
That strategy did work. It was the drinks that was the false one. With the official, she was tackled really before she got to kind of display that.
She didn't make it very far off the court.
Yeah, there was actually someone from security sitting about 10 feet from her and had a...
not even 10. Like, he's just like... He's 3 feet away, just staring daggers at this girl.
Great form tackle. She
still
was
goes up for it.
Sideways before she had a foot on the court.
I mean, she got to the baseline or the out-of-bounds line, and he had already hit her at that point.
And she was de-cleated immediately. And then dragging her through the tunnel, it was revealed that she had an NBA official's uniform on.
Shout out to NBA Twitter, because without NBA Twitter, that question, A, is not a thing, and B, would not be correct, because we are both on NBA, or all three of us are on NBA Twitter. So,
yeah.
Great question.
Point and a half with three questions to go. Trevor's got to beat me 2-1.
Yeah. So we're going to shift to the finals for these next few. Question 8, 75th year of the NBA. All 75 finals have featured a player that was a New York Knick at some point in their career. The context of this question, what former Knick kept the streak alive this year in this year's NBA finals? Was it Luke Kornet, Otto Porter, Quindary Weatherspoon, or Nick Stauskas?
I'm ready when you are, Josh. I have the 25-second mark on the clock, so I'll give you a 15
Why do minutes. You get to dictate how long I get for each of these questions? I've got it down.
I'm the only one has a clock. I've got it down. How long we've been running. All right.
Luke Kornet, he hit a corner three last night.
No, I'm so mad you knew that. I thought you would. Oh, dang it. I knew it was Luke Kornet because I was so excited when I saw that stat. I was actually rooting for the Heat had a guy. It was contrary to my prediction with the Heat Celtics, but the Heat had somebody, and I can't remember who it is now. But I
I
went out of
can't
my
either.
way to root for the Heat because I thought that streak was going to lose. And then someone reminded me of Luke
Yeah, I was not happy to see him on the floor last night, especially when he hit the three. I've had that
Kornet.
question for like 3 weeks now, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Oh, I would you have had that, Josh, if he did not hit that three last night?
Absolutely not. Are you for real?
Oh,
Absolutely
no.
not. I would not have had that if they
I
didn't
knew
lose
that
it last
from
night.
months ago.
I was about to turn the game off last night. I saw him hoist one. I was like, please don't go in. And of course, he drilled
Yeah.
it. And
I'm
yeah,
just mad because I
so.
knew it and he wouldn't have. Wow. Okay.
All right, so Josh remains up a
One and
point
a
and a
half.
half
Is
going
it
into
20?
question nine, which is our
What do you
last
have?
finals related
Wow.
question.
What do you have? 28 to 26 and a half? Or 29 to 27 and a half?
29 to 27 and a half.
Cool.
All right, so question nine. Officiating has been a hot topic throughout the finals for mostly the wrong reasons for us as fans. I'm sure the players would agree. What player has just one more point scored than personal foul responsible for through last night's game five? Is it Daniel Tice, Andre Iguodala, Grant Williams, or Draymond Green?
Oh my gosh. What a question. Give them to me again.
Yep, Daniel Tice, Andre Iguodala, Grant Williams, or Draymond Green.
Right, Trevor.
Shall we? In the spirit of our guest hating this player with probably more passion than anybody I know, of any player probably, I know for a fact this is Draymond Green because it was, I think he had more fouls than points up until through game four, and then you said it was one more point than foul now. That has changed.
Yep, I had to adjust it after last night.
Yep.
Dang, I got it wrong. I said Iguodala.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Go.
Before, I was ecstatic to find that Draymond Green had more fouls than points. Last night, he exploded for 8 points and his usual six fouls, leading me to adjust the question.
Just gonna say once again, it makes it sound like you guys talked about this question ahead of time.
I
Just
promise
throwing
you.
that out
No,
there.
I just, I did. Can I tell you honestly what it is? It's the three. I don't know if, and it's because of the COVID and how the seasons got messed up the last couple. This is the
I
first
just
real
thought
full
Draymond
season.
was a really obvious like fake answer because that would be
That was
that was
the
my knee
point,
jerk
yeah.
reaction.
But for me, it was since 2019 was the last real finals we had with a full season and a full final slate. I don't remember. Did we used to do 3 game gaps in the finals? Or is
No.
that a new thing?
It's
See,
new.
that's
No,
what threw me
it's
up.
yeah.
There's so much time now to A, prepare for these shows, B, our show specifically, not the trivia, watch, NBA stuff, and then just be on Twitter. Like, there's a bunch of time, and that came up, and it was a hysterical thing. And I'm like, I don't know. Wow. So we, for those that are keeping score at home,
All comes down to this.
29 to 28 and a half. Holy
Trevor has
crap.
to get it right, and I have to get it wrong.
Somebody's winning by half a point again.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, I could win by a point and a half if I get it right
Excuse
and he
me.
gets it
Yes,
wrong.
yes, yes.
You literally can't make this stuff up, by the way.
Yeah.
This is zero
Trevor, there's more
script.
pressure on you. You got to get the question right.
Right.
And
Then
let's go ahead and
maybe
get the
you'll
scoring
win.
format because there's a way to get it. Is there a way to get all four answers and all that? Oh, go ahead. You got it. This is your question. So.
Yeah, so final question, draft related. There are four right answers. I need two of them for a point. You guys ready?
As
All
I'll ever be for being able to win this potentially.
right. Cool. Question 10. Four teams currently find themselves in a situation Sam Presti has nightmares about, and they at present time do not own a pick in the upcoming NBA draft. For a point, name two of these four teams.
Can I name four and see if two of them are right?
I'll
So
give
there's
you
four
three
answers.
guesses to name two.
Okay.
Oh, so there's no way to for me to beat Josh because of me getting all four. Oh crap. Okay.
We can do that. I can make it
No,
extra
I don't
credit.
think
Okay.
that was
Yeah,
not the
right. Yeah.
Let
We'll
me
go with
ask
how
Josh real
you
quick.
okay. intended it. We'll go with how you, all
Yeah,
right, let's
shoot.
do because this is the final not multiple choice. You want to do what? A minute and a half like we did earlier?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Take some time
I
for
have it at 122:40, so we'll go to the whatever that is.
Yeah, so give me three guesses, and if at least two are right, then
Yeah.
you will get the 10th and final point.
We have three get we can actually lock in three guesses, correct?
Yep. Yeah. give a little bit of wiggle room on that.
That's fair. Because I'd know for... You know what's even funnier? I looked at this yesterday because I prepared for our mock draft episode. And I go, that's weird. There's actually way more than... Yeah. Yep. Problem is, I'm trying to struggle for the third one right now. That's the part. I'm pretty sure I have two, no matter what. Maybe. We'll see. With 20 seconds left to spare, I'm going to go ahead and officially lock in my answer unless I absolutely have a light bulb in the next 15 seconds.
All right. We'll let Josh finish up.
Just, by the way, we're doing great on time, guys. We're at 123.55. I did not think that... I thought this was going to go off the rails way more, and the format actually really holds true. So, all right, Josh. 124.05, whenever you are ready, my friend.
All right. I'm hoping two of these are right, because the last one's just a guess. I know the Lakers don't have one. I knew it was weird that both LA teams didn't make the playoffs, but neither of them had a pick in the lottery, so I put the Clippers, hoping that's correct, and I threw in the Suns.
Okay. Go ahead, Trevor.
I'm really confident about two of these. I did not think about the Clippers angle with the lottery. That's a great point. I didn't do a huge deep dive of the second round just yet because we're not doing it on the mock. Just a spoiler there. But I went with the Lakers officially because they definitely don't have a pick. We've made that joke 100 times. I went with the Toronto Raptors and the Utah Jazz. I am 100% sure about the Utah Jazz. The Raptors, I don't think it matters. I have to have Josh miss a point at this point.
All right, so I'll start with Josh. You guys both got the Lakers, obviously. The Clippers is not correct, but the Phoenix Suns are correct, thanks to the Thunder.
Let's go!
Trevor did get two of three as well with the Lakers and Jazz. Toronto was incorrect.
Let's go! That was a shot in the dark.
So by half a point once again, Josh is your trivia champion.
Feel like Ronaldo after some big goal. I'm glad this is visual because Trevor's not making any sounds. We're going to put this up visually just to see the disappointment.
Was there any...
When should I expect...
Hold on, cut
trophy
it.
Trophy in the Phoenix, mail.
Hold on, it was Phoenix, Utah, the Lakers.
And the Nets because they deferred the Philly first.
Oh my God, I should have known that. I looked at that today.
Yeah, that recent news is what inspired this question. Because the Nets or Sixers were going to be without a pick as a result of that deferment. So,
about the thinnest of margins. Valiant effort, Trevor. Valiant effort.
I haymakered you multiple times, and I was so ready. I was so ready to just rip.
I thought I'd lost it. That Clippers wasn't right. I pulled the Suns out of thin air because I didn't have many guesses left. I didn't have seconds left.
I'm never going to... Honestly, this is going to be... like I'm trying to think of like a really bad finals loss that somebody had. They're never going to live down. This is it for me.
Question 10 has to be loosely read to the Thunder in some capacity with the draft. So.
Oh, I knew you were onto something because you said it was draft-related and there was no draft question yet. So I had a feeling it was... I think I did, actually. I'll just show it since Josh spoiled it. For those that are new here, I was going to put it in the... audio of the post-production of this show, but this will be our first official YouTube video live either late Wednesday, early Thursday, because why not? The trivia is chaotic. I immediately, the moment you read the question, I thought it was going to be what four picks do they own? I wrote them down immediately. Like
they own three now. I had that answer as well.
Yeah.
It's actually only three. We both prepared for that question. They traded one to
34.
Denver.
Yeah. Denver has 30 now.
I wrote 2, 12, 32, and 34. Is what I thought. I thought it was.
Yeah, we had 30 from Phoenix sent it to Denver for Jamichael Green this week.
I had the four right, but it was three in the first. Yeah, whatever. All right, I'm gonna do the honorable sportsmanship thing since I can't shake your hand. You know, like 18th green where you take the hat off. No, it's okay. Put your hand down. I can't take my hat off like on the green of the Masters and shake your hand. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to. This is obviously a really. Really, really monumental segment for our show. It's been an unbelievable year for this. I, again, cannot script this. If someone thinks that we script it, try to figure out the research and do it. I'd love to hear it. 30 seconds, whatever you want to say. I obviously we'd like to still be a clean show. Go right ahead,
Michael. Yeah, I mean, it's what they, you know what they say, rather be lucky than good. Pulled Phoenix really out of nowhere. It was really just all of the work I put in all season to accumulate these points over time. Filing the right protests to make sure I got Milwaukee point on my last opportunity today. And I just want to shout out, I guess, Trevor for getting all those questions wrong throughout the middle of the season. shout out to Caleb for making this incredibly close by letting Trevor pick up 4 points 2 weeks ago so that we had a lot of entertainment. And Grayson for putting
some all right, 30 seconds are up.
Onto this. And it's back to back, like Jordan, 96, 97. That's what Drake said, right? So there we go.
If history repeats itself, I am technically going to be Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns. For those who don't know, they were swept in Jordan's third first championship run. So this has been the Two Pointers Podcast, I guess. I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm so mad. That was how I was going to end the episode and just have you cut it off. All right, Josh, close this. You're not closing us out. Grace, just close us out. I'm done.
On behalf of our now two-time champion and Trevor, I want to thank you guys again for listening to the trivia finale and for these two for having me on again to produce once again a thrilling half-point victory in this trivia finale that has spanned the entirety of the season. Like this earlier, stick around. This will come back in some form in the off-season. And, yeah, looking forward to what these guys have in store as we transition to the off-season after hopefully two more great finals games.
Later. Bad to bad like I'm Jordan 96, 97.